talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down.
Go tell that long-tongued liar. Welcome to Matt Flynn Direct on Devil Radio. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits. All points of view are welcome. And remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. And as always, we're going right to the front lines of history in the making. A lot to talk about, but there is one overarching story. We've got to lead with it. Major story yesterday. Late yesterday afternoon or early evening, the Trump Organization was indicted by the grand jury in Manhattan. So was Alan Weisselberg, the chief financial officer of the Trump Organization. The indictments were filed and sealed yesterday. Somebody squealed. Somebody spilled the beans to the press. Somebody took a big risk because grand jury proceedings are secret. Nobody knows exactly what the indictment says. It will be unsealed today. The schedule is that at 2 p.m. roughly, 2 p.m. Eastern time, that's 1 p.m. Milwaukee time and Madison time, Alan Weisselberg will appear to be arraigned with his lawyer in court, state court. Alan Weisselberg will very likely go down to the district attorney's office and turn himself in this morning. This is all orchestrated by counsel. What you don't want, what would happen in the normal course if this were a drug case or something like that, the police would show up and find him and drag him out of wherever he is, his apartment while he's shaving, his office, sitting in a restaurant. This would be unseemly to drag Alan Weisselberg out of a New York restaurant. And what happens in white-collar crime cases is they negotiate his coming in. He and his lawyer will pull up in a car, get out at the DA's office. He'll go in. They will book him. They may or may not handcuff him. You know, in the old days, they wouldn't with a white-collar crime suspect, but there have been enough incidents so that they think they have to treat everybody equally. Who knows? But in any event, he'll be arraigned in the afternoon. The arraignment is a procedure whereby he's informed of the charges against him. He may plead not guilty, or they may defer the plea till later. It's perfunctory. There won't be a motion to dismiss at that point. And then the judge will release him, very likely on his own recognizance with no bail. And he'll go back to his apartment, and more likely he'll go back to his lawyer's office and huddle and talk about further proceedings. Now, this is also, however, an indictment, criminal charge against the Trump Organization. And think about this. Think about how strange this procedure is in the normal course. In the normal course, if you have one crooked executive or one executive who broke the law, you don't indict the whole company. The reason for that is, let's say a major company that is widely respected, like an IBM or a GM or something like that. If somebody in management does something wrong, they don't indict the whole company. You indict a company, and what's liable to happen is that the banks will call in their loans. The banks may throw them out of the bank, say, we no longer want your deposits. People will stop doing business, some people, with that company. It will have an impact on people's jobs. And I'm not just talking about accountants and lawyers. I'm talking about people who clean the Trump hotels, who mow the fairways on the Trump golf courses, people who work in the kitchen, really good, honest, hardworking people. If people stop patronizing these establishments, that impacts other people's jobs. Prosecutors don't do this lightly. They only do it if there is a pervasive finding, the finding of pervasive dishonesty at the highest levels of the corporation, the highest levels. In that case, that means Donald Trump. The other thing that occurs to me on this is think about the people who have gone to jail or been disbarred in the service of Trump, and he's come out unscathed so far. Michael Cohen was his lawyer and went to prison on the Stormy Daniels payoff. Now, the thing is, Michael Cohen did not have a relationship with Stormy Daniels. Michael Cohen didn't benefit from that at all. In the charge against him, they talk about an indicted individual one. That's Trump. And yet Cohen went to jail. Cohen went to jail. Manafort went to jail. Giuliani had his license yanked in New York, and he's under criminal investigation right now for what he did with Trump, as well as his lobbying, apparently, for the Turkish government. Roy Cohn, this is a bit of deep history. Roy Cohn, Joe McCarthy's lawyer in the 1950s, was one of Trump's early lawyers, and he was disbarred. He was disbarred, came close to being convicted of charges. They drop like flies around Trump. I mean, professionals drop like flies around Trump. Lawyers, consultants, they go to jail, they get their licenses yanked. Nothing so far has impacted Trump. That may change. The thing about Alan Weisselberg is that the prosecutors undoubtedly approached his lawyers some time ago and said, look, Michael Cohen has come before us seven or eight times. It's very rare in a grand jury proceeding. And he's told us chapter and verse. He's told us where the bodies are buried. He's told us where all the bones are buried. And he says that your signature on these documents wasn't originally your idea. Trump told you to do it. We need you to testify. And Weisselberg wouldn't testify because Weisselberg may have some exposure on his own. You know, the Trump people paid private school tuitions, apparently, for at least one of his grandchildren, gave his son and daughter-in-law an expensive apartment in New York and so on. No taxes were paid on this sort of stuff. I don't know how it was booked on the books of the Trump organization as an expense to be deducted. But there's a lot of stuff in there that Weisselberg and possibly one of his children has exposure on. So Weisselberg wouldn't talk. Well, now Weisselberg is getting squeezed. This is a classic prosecution tactic. You always go after the biggest fish. The biggest fish here is Trump. So you go to a slightly smaller fish, which is Weisselberg, and squeeze him. And of course, they squeeze Cohen. Weisselberg is going to have to decide, does he want to go to jail for Donald Trump? And the answer is no, he won't go to jail for Donald Trump. Nobody will. And it's not just Michael Cohen who talked about Weisselberg. The deputy CFO apparently talked to him about him to the prosecutors. And they have plenty of evidence that Weisselberg's signature apparently is on documents. We won't know the full extent of it till today. The indictment will be unsealed today. You'll hear about it all day, but you're hearing about it for the first time now. Weisselberg, very likely, if he has good lawyers, the lawyers will sit down with the prosecutor. Weisselberg will never talk to the prosecutor, never do any negotiation until it's all set and arranged. And they'll say, okay, Weisselberg can't be charged at all, can't go to prison, neither can his son and his daughter-in-law or anyone else connected to his family. And if you do that, he'll testify. And the prosecution will say, no, he has to plead to a felony, one felony, and we will recommend only 1 year in jail. And his son will have to plead to a felony and we'll say no years in jail. And they'll go back and say, no, that's not good enough. His son can't be charged at all. And Weisselberg can't spend any time at all in jail. But okay, he'll do a felony instead of a misdemeanor or nothing. It'll go back and forth like this. It'll go back and forth like this for a while. If Alan Weisselberg then testifies before the grand jury to the prosecution's questions, he has to tell the truth. Now you may think, all right, well, of course, no. Many people don't tell the truth. But if you don't tell the truth in front of a grand jury, that's a separate felony. That's perjury and obstruction, several felonies. And then they will go after him and they will send him to jail. So he's got to sit there if he decides to go this route. And he's got to go, okay, I will absolutely open my kimono, as they say in prosecution terms. I've never been a prosecutor and don't like their terms. And I will tell you and give you everything. And then you'll go through it chapter and verse the way Cohen did. And Cohen at the end was telling the truth. You could tell he was telling the truth. He was full of passion. And there will be Wesselberg's signatures all over these documents. I bet the Trump signature barely appears. And if it does, Trump will say his accountants told him to do it. But Alan Wesselberg will give the true story. And I think this is the start of the end of the long road that started several years ago to indict Donald Trump for various financial frauds in Manhattan. Manhattan, the financial capital of the world. Trump played in that pond, and now Trump is in danger of sinking in that pond. So stand by, 2 o'clock Eastern, 1 o'clock Central. You'll probably see Wesselberg arraigned, may give a plea. They may defer the plea. There'll be more discussions. Indictments unsealed. We know what it's all about. We're going to a break. The lines are still open. 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
Backbiter. Tell them that God's gonna cut you down. Tell them that God's gonna cut you down. Tell them that God's gonna cut you down.